This morning, though, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time in a passage, and I want to pray first, but I just want to encourage us about what's to come. I feel like today is a new day, a new dawning, not only for us, but for the church community here. So let me pray. Father, thank you for the incredible privilege we have to be in your presence this morning. And Lord, I feel like this morning we've worshipped as so many different denominations represented through friends and family, and yet a beautiful unity before you, a desire to elevate you, Lord. And we know that beyond these walls is a community that is desperate for meaning. Lord, there's neighbourhoods where people are living a life without hope. And yet, Father, we have this beautiful privilege that you invite us into, that we can be hope bearers, ambassadors of life being lived differently, life that is full of hope and forgiveness and love that comes in knowing the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, before you this morning, I stand with just thankfulness in my heart of a community that desires to grow deeper. And as Wendy said, Lord, we want to see more. Lord, we want to see the things that the scriptures speak about come alive in our day and our time. For you to be elevated and for your name not to be used as an expressive or swear word, but to be held in honour and glory, the name of Jesus. Speak to us now through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was going to bring my clicker because I wanted to be really professional, but I left it at home. So I'll try and work with Jen over there. But we're reading from Philippians 3, 7 to 14, and I wasn't sure whether the writing was going to be big enough. So my apologies for that. Might encourage us to bring our Bibles or open our devices as well. Let me read. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So just a quick background to this passage. In the opening verses of Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul is giving a warning to the church in Philippi. There were false teachers that had been starting to move among the congregation, and they were just distorting the truth, and they were opposed to the good news that Paul had proclaimed to that community. Many of them believed that favour with God was found in the heritage of their Jewish nation, their personal achievements, their birthright, and even their legalistic held standards. And you know what, Paul, this mattered greatly to him in his previous expression of life, but now he'd encountered Jesus and everything looked different. Everything had been rewritten. And Paul, in these first verses, attempts to express this idea of how this transformation has taken place. And he really doesn't hold back. And in fact, Paul's words here are his testimony. This is him saying to the community, this is what I believe. This is what matters to me. These are the priorities. And often in our testimony, we do draw back on our past, don't we? We think of the way we once were before the transforming work of Jesus Christ touched our life. And I love this. Paul goes into this passage and he says, all of this stuff, whatever the things that were seemingly important and were gains to me, that I now consider a loss. And he's not happy with his language and he increases that. And he says, no, not just a loss, everything is a loss. And then he goes, no, damn it, I'm not happy. It's all garbage. And I go, wow. And what is the thing that makes all of this past life garbage is that he may gain Christ. He may gain Christ, that he may know Christ. And I love this deep heart expression of Paul, because sometimes I feel like we get lost in our past. We get lost in the things that we think are important for our faith. And it's like Paul lays it down and he strips it back and he says, really, all that matters in life is to know Jesus more, to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is. And not, we're not all called to be a pastor, though. We're not all called to just give up our life and go, well, Jesus, every day. No, we're called to be in the workplaces that we work. We're called to be in the neighborhoods we live. We're called to be in the relationships that we are. But it's into that setting that we say, God, we want to know you. We want to know your ways in that setting. Paul continues. And what he wants to become is the best version of himself in Christ. Now, you're going to hear me say this a lot, sea change, because it's something that God has put on my heart. How do we become the best version of ourselves? We keep talking about this in regard to our phones and our iPads and our computers. But what does it look like to be the best version of ourselves? And I believe that's found not only in intimacy with Jesus Christ, but the daily choice that we make to want to know Christ in the settings of the world in which we live, in the neighborhoods in which we live. Paul continues, verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes. I want to know Christ. This is an active posture from Paul, isn't it? I want to know Christ. It doesn't mean that I stand still. It means I pursue that. I go after that. And that leads us to the question of what does it mean? How do we pursue that? And often in these moments, I think, you know, and I've been at talks and places and someone will say, oh, this is what we need to do. And it's very profound. And often I just get back to wake each day with the prayer, Jesus, help me to know you more today. It doesn't actually get much simpler than that. We can do all of the deeper theology study, but it's the daily posture of waking up before the new day and saying, Lord, how do I know you more today? How do I experience you more today in my life? Where is change needing to take place? Verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul recognizes he hasn't reached his final destination. We haven't reached our final destination. We're still on a journey. There's years to be lived. There's days to be experienced. And yet there's no complacency in Paul. There's no laziness. He believes the best years are ahead of him, and I believe the best years are ahead of us. I believe the best years are for Sea Change, for Kingsway, are ahead of us. I believe the things that God wants to do in and through us, the best years are ahead of us. Now, sometimes as we get older, and I drifted over the 50, and we're not going to talk about age anymore, but one of the things is often we can start to look back in life and reflect on the good old days. And many of us, if we've been in church environments for a long time, we can look back and say, well, you know, back in that period, that's when faith was really happening, or that's when I really felt close to God. And I know in my mind there are things that come to mind. There might be periods during the teenage years or growing up. Used to love going to a thing called Black Stump. Anyone been to Black Stump? Oh, yeah, look at the hands go up. Praise God for Black Stump. And so we can think about those experiences and think that that's where faith really was for me. That's where it really was happened. And in fact, some of us have plateaued in our growth. And yet when I read this, Paul reminds us that actually we can continue to grow. We can continue to experience the power of the Spirit in our life, the transformative work that takes us each day to a deeper understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And those memories are great from the past, but what they are there is signposts of God's faithfulness, that God will be faithful still into the future. Paul says, I press on. I press on. Now, in the original Greek of the New Testament, this idea of press on is a hunting terminology. And it's got this idea of pursuit, of the chase, to overtake, to capture. And I feel like sometimes in my life I've lived my faith like this, you know, just very casual. And then I read this idea of pressing on, and it's this alertness. It's like, you know, where's God at work? Where's God calling me to get involved, to get into this, to take a step of faith? And it's this almost sense of peace but urgency mixed together. And that's what Paul is saying. There is this encouragement in him to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of him. Have you ever asked that question? I know I was talking, sorry, Sarah, illustration time. I was talking to Sarah recently, and she was saying, and we've been praying, Lord, why have you taken hold of me? Like, what is the purpose you've called me to? And even at 50, I'm still asking that question. Here I am in a new season of life, and I'm asking that question. What have you taken hold of me for in this season? What is the purpose I'm meant to fulfill in your kingdom in this next season? But I think it's true for all of us. What have you taken hold of me for? What do I need to accomplish that is part of your kingdom expression? But Paul says, I don't think I've taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We know Paul is not saying that we lose memory of what the past was. Paul was a pretty aggressive guy towards the Christian faith. He approved Stephen's stoning. He'd gone and arrested people for the faith. He was aggressively on his way to Damascus when Jesus interrupted his story. But here he is now in this transformed place, and he says, one thing I do, I don't keep looking at that. I don't give my past failures airtime in my future. I don't give the weakness of things in the past that have sabotaged my desires to grow deeper in my faith. I don't let them seed my future. But what I let seed my future is this desire to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And what about you? What is it that you need to leave behind? I got a beautiful church community at Padstow that we have to leave behind. And it's been hard. Friendships will continue, but that experience and that period of life now has to be put in the past. And what needs to be pursued now in the future needs to be pursued with all intention and all passion. And I want to seed the future not with the regrets of the past. I want to seed the future with the potential of what God has for us. And so it won't be a surprise that when we get down the track in life, that there is fruitfulness. It won't be a surprise when we get down the track in life that God turns up and does what only God can do. And that's the faith part of what Paul is talking about here. So the last line, and let's wrap this up. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What an incredible thing. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. I always have this, you know, we talk about Christian faith often as this, oh, my life's been this crazy roller coaster. When I read this, it kind of Paul's implying that there's this trajectory that's heavenward. And so even in the midst of difficulty, maybe in periods of wilderness in our faith and struggle, when we're in Christ, we're actually on a trajectory that's heavenward. And that's exciting. So my encouragement for us this morning, and I've really just done a flyover of this passage, there's more gold in here, is to ask you, what has taken hold of your life at the moment? Is it worry? Is it stress? Is it our work? Is it our families? Paul encourages us back to that place of commitment, to that desire, to the shaping of our hearts, to elevate again Jesus as the one who we give our attention to, the one whom we start each day asking, praying, believing. Let me pray for us. Lord, I just reflect on in this moment what Paul must have been feeling in this moment. His frustrations maybe about the past or frustrations about these false teachers, and yet in the midst of that, Lord, he's expressing this beautiful testimony. And Lord, everyone in this room's got a testimony. We're all at different stages in our faith journey. Maybe we're new to the faith. Maybe we're even considering who this Jesus is. Regardless of where we're up to, Lord, we have an opportunity today to take a step towards you, to want to trust you. Maybe embrace again that idea of putting you first and not myself. And we need your help with that, Lord. We need your spirit to point us in the direction, Lord, the daily rhythms that will draw us closer to you. Lord, I know for myself, this past 6 to 9 months has been a real wrestle. And Lord, there's been times where I've wondered, Lord, what are you doing? And yet I stand here today, Lord, and I want to proclaim your faithfulness again, that you don't leave us, that there's a purpose in our struggle. There's a purpose in our change. And I'm just believing, Lord, it's to grow our relationship, our intimacy with you deeper and deeper. And I want that, Lord. And I know the community here wants that. So help us today, Lord. Help us to take a step of faith. Help us to reach out again to you and really, in our hearts, prayerfully desire to take hold of that for which you've taken hold of us. Thank you. In your precious name, amen.